Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. The family of a Donegal man who went missing in Dublin 20 days ago say they are hoping for closure as the search continues. A major new community and sports facility is set to be developed in Donegal town after €2 million in funding was secured. A meeting of Lifford-Stranorlar Municipal District has been told that Rafoe is not getting the funding and recognition it deserves, and President Connolly has signed the Omagh bombing inquiry bill into law. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have a full update of all the sport with Mark at around 5:45. But first, the family of a Donegal man who went missing in Dublin 20 days ago say they are hoping for closure as the search continues. Ronan Strain has been missing from the Smithfield area of Dublin 7 since Thursday the 14th of May. It is believed the 36-year-old travelled to Howth, and his family say they believe he entered the water and that his body is now in the Irish Sea. His uncle, Christy Murray, says the past number of weeks have been extremely difficult for the family.
On the 14th of May was the last time the leap card was used, and timelines is quite difficult. We think Thursday afternoon was the last time that he used the leap card. There's been no bank transactions or anything since that. He took a bus, we think, out to Howth. He took photographs days beforehand. We think there were clues into what he was thinking, and we have had his picture up the last 20 days now, and we're not getting a lot of any information back on that. We're fairly sure what's happened, that he is probably in the water into the Irish Sea, mm-hmm. and the trajectory of the currents and stuff, he could be anywhere. It's a massive area.
A major new community and sports facility is set to be developed in Donegal town after €2 million in funding was secured for a joint project between Four Masters GAA Club and the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation. The funding has been awarded through the Immigrant Investor Programme Fund and will support the construction of a new clubhouse and community facility at Chirconnell Park. The development will include an accessible gym, a change in places facility, community meeting rooms, an accessible kitchen, event space and lift access throughout the building. Donegal Deputy Patrick O'Gallagher says having accessible facilities will benefit the wider area.
Yeah, there's very important facilities there, and there's all facilities for those with special abilities. They're cared for, and of course they have a large accessible gym, fully compliant changing places facility, community meeting rooms, accessible kitchen, a large event space and lift access throughout the building. All will be catered for, and of course environmentally they will ensure that they'll have an A1 BEAR rating and incorporate low embodied carbon construction, rainwater harvesting measures and the biodiversity enhancements. So all in all, it's a development that will cater just not for the club and the town, but indeed for all of the surrounding areas.
Just pick it up there on the change in facilities. We've been hearing more and more how the Republic of Ireland's really fallen behind in that, and having those facilities available in Donegal town will benefit the entire hinterland.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That's the whole purpose of it. Indeed, all of the hinterland will have contributed towards the funding that has been raised, substantial funding that has been raised locally. Of course, grants are important, but only important when they can be matched by the locals who provide substantial funds.
A meeting of Lifford-Stranorlar Municipal District has been told that Rafoe is not getting the funding and recognition it deserves as Donegal's premier heritage town, and a business plan should be drawn up to ensure that its potential is realised. Councillor Frank McBrearty says Rafoe is at the centre of the Lifford-Stranorlar Municipal District, and that needs to be recognised when funding priorities for the MD are being drawn up. Councillor McBrearty contrasted the underinvestment in the castle in Rafoe with the priority given to the castle in Donegal town.
The castle in Donegal town is a focal area that has had money spent on it, and we have a castle in Rafal. And it should be a priority that that castle is renovated and brought up to a standard where people can visit it. Rafal is in the centre of the Lyfford's Stranorder Municipal District, and I feel that we should be working from Rafal outwards. We have the Beltney Stone Circle, one of the oldest monuments in Ireland. We have Oakfield Park. We have huge heritage and culture of Rafal. What we've got to offer from a heritage point of view, there's no other town in this county can offer that.
You also made the point that St Eunan's Cathedral in Rafal is possibly the most underestimated and underappreciated church, not only in the county, but possibly in the country.
Well, it's the most beautiful church anybody has ever been in it. You'll see it. The history of that church goes back for centuries. We must use the assets that we've got. Donegal County Council, they should start working on a business plan, how to move forward, because we're kind of stuck in the mud. We're working very closely at the minute on a regeneration programme for Rafal, which will help Rafal if Rafal gets funding for that. I mean, that's a work in progress at the minute. But as I said at the meeting, we have a lot to offer, but it's how we manage what we've got to offer. And in my opinion, we need a proper business plan to be able to avail from the funding that is out there that we're not getting.
President Catherine Connolly has signed the Omagh Bombing Inquiry Bill into law. The legislation will allow for the taking of evidence in the state from a member or former member of An Garda Síochána, a member or former member of the Defence Forces, an office holder or former office holder of certain departments of state, or a former holder of a ministerial office for the purposes of assisting the Omagh Bombing Inquiry. The mechanism will be available to the chairman of the inquiry over its lifetime and will allow for assistance to be sought as matters arise in the course of his work. A woman who has accused Geoffrey Donaldson of raping her as a child says she should have reported the abuse sooner. The former DUP leader is charged with 18 historic sex offences, which he denies. His wife Eleanor has pleaded not guilty to 5 charges and faces a trial of the facts. Emily Keegan has this report, which some listeners may find upsetting.
When she was a teenager, complainant B attended a Christian rehabilitation centre. The court heard she told a pastor about the alleged sexual abuse by Geoffrey Donaldson while she was there. She was today asked if she could remember the pastor suggesting he go to the police. The complainant said she doesn't remember, but said she should have said, "Please go, I will go with you." She told the court she blames herself for the later alleged abuse of a second complainant in this case, saying if she had reported her claims sooner, it wouldn't have happened. The alleged victim also claims Eleanor Donaldson witnessed an incident when Geoffrey Donaldson had lifted her top and played with her breasts. This afternoon, during cross-examination, Mrs. Donaldson's lawyer said his client didn't see any inappropriate touching by her husband, something the complainant disagreed with. Emily Keegan at Newry Crown Court.
A 100% Redress Party councillor has again called on the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage to urgently introduce an upfront funding mechanism within the defective concrete block grant scheme. Councillor Joy Beard says the request has been made repeatedly, but she claims without any meaningful progress to date. It's understood that in a recent meeting in Donegal with the Housing Minister, she was told that such a mechanism is not possible. Councillor Beard says she does not accept that position.
There is upfront funding for mobile homes through the scheme, which is great that came through. But a lot of homeowners are coming to me with all the costs that you have, you know, your ESB disconnection, to even get your post, changed over to the new address. They're paying rent deposits, the first month's rent in advance, and there's so many. They have to get a BER assessment done. There's so many professional fees that have to be paid for in advance. You know, your competent building professional fees have to be paid, some of them are looking for them in advance, and also builders are asking now for a deposit as well, because there's a lack of builders out there. So if a contractor's willing to do the work and they're asking you for a 10% deposit and your rebuild say 300,000, there's 30,000 before you even. So this upfront funding, the funding's there for the families, just to ease that burden. There should be upfront funding to help them.
And did the minister say that he would look into it? Was there any kind of a promise made?
From what I hear today, no. He's ruled it out, basically. But I think it's important that we reiterate the desperate need. There's so many barriers with this scheme that homeowners aren't moving through. And we do hear it that, people aren't engaging with this scheme. We need to understand why. And I think this is one of the big barriers we have as well, temporary housing. There's no houses out there. I think there's 35 in the whole of Donegal to rent at the moment. And the homeowners simply can't get anywhere in their communities where they need to be to rent. And that's a massive, massive burden.
The British Prime Minister has publicly apologised to the families of five people shot by the army in Belfast in 1972. It comes after an inquest in April found soldiers overreacted to a perceived threat. The coroner also said the army lost control in a number of cases on the Spring Hill estate on July the 9th, 1972. Keir Starmer spoke in the British Parliament today.
Mr Speaker, the findings of the recent Spring Hill inquest into the tragic deaths in July 1972 of Father Noel Fitzpatrick, Patrick Butler, Margaret Gargan, David McCafferty and John Dougal are sobering.
Sinn Féin are inviting the public to a meeting in Letterkenny this evening as pressures continue over the rising cost of living. Donegal deputies Piers Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin will host the event at the Radisson Hotel at 7:30 p.m. The meeting is part of their ongoing campaign calling for stronger action on the cost of living and increased supports for workers and families. Deputy McLaughlin says the event is an opportunity for the public to come along, have their say and help keep pressure on government to make life more affordable.
First area is the area of energy credits. The government removed them as soon as the last general election was over and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were back in power. They never brought back in the energy credits, even though we have the most expensive electricity in Europe, even though they haven't tackled the energy companies and the price gouging that's ongoing. The next area is the universal social charge, and we would put €500 back in everybody's pockets urgently around that area. The USC was introduced during the time of the financial crash and needs to be looked at step by step in terms of getting money back in workers' pockets. And then the other areas are around issues like childcare, and the issues of university education. We need to obviously continue to cut back the cost of fuel at the pump, and there's more can be done. Carbon taxes, particularly egregious for rural communities. So all of those areas are what need to be done urgently.
And just to make it clear, this meeting is open for everyone. It's not just for Sinn Féin members.
Oh, absolutely. We want members of the public. We want people who are living this reality. Please come along tonight. It's an open door. It starts at 7:30 in the Radisson Hotel, Letterkenny, central location in Donegal. So wherever you're from in Donegal, please come along. And, you know, Pierce is there as our finance spokesperson, can deal with our alternative proposal. But we want to hear your stories.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home of the new Donegal jersey. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 on Highland Radio and we go over to the sports desk where we say good evening to Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Ray, and good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. Donegal's clash with Cork in round 2A of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship has been confirmed for Saturday afternoon, the 13th of June at 3 o'clock. That game will be played at Sean McCool Park in Ballybuffet, and at the moment it doesn't have any TV or streaming coverage associated to the fixture. Highland Radio's sports team will have full big match coverage with the build-up, game commentary and reaction in association with Highland Motors in Letterkenny. Tyrone's round 2A meeting with Mayo will be played on Sunday the 14th of June at Healy Park in Omagh. Throw in there is at 3:30, while Derry's round 2B fixture with Meath has been set for Saturday evening the 13th of June at Celtic Park from 7. In soccer, the draw for round 2 of the FAI Senior Cup took place this afternoon. Finn Harps have been drawn at home to fellow SSE Airtricity League First Division side Bray Wanderers. Derry City have also been handed a home tie. The Candy Stripes will host Dublin side Tulka Rovers. In other notable last 32 matchups, Premier Division leaders Shamrock Rovers will face First Division leaders Cork City, and Sligo Rovers are away to Limerick outfit Janesboro. Those fixtures will be played on the weekend of the 19th of July. Liverpool legend John Barnes has called for patience from supporters if Andoni Iraola becomes the new head coach at Anfield. The former Bournemouth boss has verbally agreed to take over after Arne Slot was sacked last weekend, and Barnes says he'll need to be given time to make his mark.
If he comes, I'll support him 100%. If he loses the first three matches, I'm still going to support him. But will the fans? That's the problem. The fans are too quick to form an opinion, and particularly as he won the league in his first year, Arne Slot, I think that the fans should have backed him more.
Former Manchester United striker Andy Cole says Ederson will have big shoes to fill in his arrival to Old Trafford. A deal has been agreed for the midfielder to join United from Atalanta. Cole says replacing Casemiro is a tough ask though.
Cream always rises to the top, and he did that to the back end of his Manchester United career, and he was fantastic last season. So hopefully Ederson will be able to go in there and do a good sterling job like Casemiro did.
Rasmus Højlund has left Manchester United to join Napoli on a permanent transfer. The Danish striker spent last season on loan with the Italian side, scoring 16 goals in 44 matches to help them qualify for the Champions League. There was an obligation in Højlund's loan contract for the move to become permanent if they reached Europe's top competition. In boxing, the details of Katie Taylor's final fight look set to be confirmed at the end of this week. Her promoter Matchroom Boxing have called a press conference at Croke Park on Friday afternoon. It is expected that her final bout will take place at GAA HQ on September the 5th. The Irish light welterweight's opponent should be confirmed at Friday's press event. Moving on to tennis, there's been another huge shock at the French Open as world number one Aryna Sabalenka has been knocked out at the quarterfinal stage. She lost to 25th seed Diana Schneider in three sets, 3-6, 7-5, 6-love. In another big story, Poland's Maja Kwalinska has become only the sixth qualifier in the Open era to reach the women's semi-finals at a Grand Slam. She shocked Anna Kalinskaya in straight sets to book her place in the semi-finals of Roland Garros. In the men's draw, fourth seed Felix Auger-Aliassime is one set up against Flavio Cobolli, and former Wimbledon finalist Matteo Berrettini is up against fellow Italian Matteo Arnaldi. In cricket, day two of the IP20 festival has been rained off at Brady. Both games that were due to be played today did not survive the weather conditions. Leinster Lightning beat the Northwest Warriors by 20 runs in the competition's opening game yesterday. Finally, in snooker, 1997 world champion Ken Doherty has announced his retirement from professional snooker. The Dubliner remains the only Irish player to lift the world title, making two subsequent finals during a career spanning over three decades. The 56-year-old confirmed he is stepping back from the main tour, but will continue to play on the senior circuit. That's all from the Sports Desk for today. We'll be back with another update during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Ryan.
Thank you very much, Mark. A man who murdered his pregnant girlfriend in the north and then tried to use a YouTube live stream as a false alibi has been sentenced to 31 years in jail. Natalie McNally died after being violently attacked in her home in County Armagh in 2022, just days before Christmas. During the investigation, police discovered the live stream 36-year-old Stephen McCullough used as an alibi had actually been pre-recorded days before. That was put to him in a police interview. The officer's voice has been edited.
Well, your device has been examined. It was seized and it was examined, and there is nothing to suggest that you were on that device between 6 o'clock and midnight on the 18th of December. There was no activity on your device between 6 and 12.
Donegal County Council and local people in St Johnston are to work together to provide lay-bys on a narrow stretch of the Back Lone Road in the area. A council offer under the Community Involvement Scheme follows a recent petition and campaign which was coordinated by Alice Lynch, who runs Maggie's Tavern in the town. Under the model, communities partner with the council for minor roadworks by providing either finance or machinery and direct labour. On today's Greg Hughes Show, Alice Lynch said that subject to funding, work to get the much-needed lay-bys installed can begin, with local people helping the council to expedite the work.
If your car comes down and you're meeting, say, the local link bus, you have to reverse the whole way back. You have to reverse 300 metres. We just wanted a lay-by on either side, just wee lay-bys. And it has been very dangerous with people falling into the hedge and one thing and another. The good news is that the council now are sending out forms for us to be involved in the community involvement scheme, whereby the local people will provide tractors or whatever to help the council.
Applications for the Back to School scheme open today. It's been extended to include 2- and 3-year-olds, with an estimated 37,000 additional children expected to qualify. Under the scheme, eligible families will receive €160 for children aged between 2 and 11 and €285 for children aged 12 and over in second level education. Minister for Social Protection, Dara Cleary, says the grant allows parents to prioritise themselves.
With the back to school clothing and footwear, it's predominantly clothing and footwear, and parents will get the backup from that scheme, and it covered 256,000 children across the country last year.
A Strabane councillor is calling for an immediate halt to social housing evictions following a bereavement. Independent councillor Jason Barr has written to NI Communities Minister Gordon Lyons urging a freeze on all planned evictions and court proceedings linked to tenancy succession cases. He says the current policy is placing additional distress on families already dealing with grief, with some facing the prospect of homelessness shortly after losing a loved one. There are 3 households in Strabane affected. Councillor Barr told today's Greg Hughes Show that existing rules on social housing succession are no longer fit for purpose during a wider housing crisis.
There's three separate families that are facing this at the minute. Craig within Strabane Town, and across there's other families also affected across the council area. But basically the way it works is that the housing executive at the minute have a policy, and their current policy, which limits the number of tenancy that can then be succeeded. So hypothetically, Greg, if I lived in a house with my mother and father and I cared for them, and then my father passes away, that succession then goes to my mother of the house. So they haven't got a joint succession. It's known as a separate succession. So when my father dies, it goes to my mother. And then if my mum passes away, then the succession does not pass to me, even if I have lived in the house for 30 or 40 years, which then means that I am in the process then of being evicted.
You're effectively homeless.
So, effectively they make you homeless. And this is where it baffles me, Craig. You know, we're sitting in the middle here of a housing crisis, and they're going to make people homeless to put other people under the house. You know, and it effectively is a baffling, to be honest. But this is why I've called now Minister Lyons to freeze all upcoming evictions and freeze any upcoming court dates to give the families a bit of headspace until this policy needs reviewed immediately. No, one other thing that has to be considered here is that the financial cost associated with evictions, the legal proceedings, property clearance, refurbishing works, and then the reletting process can cost thousands of pounds to the taxpayer.
And the weather rather cool and blustery this evening, with sunny spells and scattered showers, some heavy. Cloudy tonight with further showers or longer spells of rain, lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees in a moderate to fresh southwest to west wind. Cool and blustery with widespread showers merging into longer spells of rain at times tomorrow. The showers will become less frequent later in the day, and more in the way of sunny spells will develop. Highest temperatures of 12 to 15 degrees with fresh and gusty westerly winds, stronger in western coastal parts. A look back at today's main stories. The family of a Donegal man who went missing in Dublin 20 days ago say they are hoping for closure as the search continues. Ronan Strain has been missing from the Smithfield area of Dublin 7 since Thursday the 14th of May. It is believed the 36-year-old travelled to Howth, and his family say they believe he entered the water and that his body is now in the Irish Sea. His uncle Christy Murray says the past number of weeks have been extremely difficult for the family. A major new community and sports facility is set to be developed in Donegal Town after €2 million in funding was secured for a joint project between Fourmaster GAA Club and the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation. The funding has been awarded through the Immigrant Investor Programme Fund and will support the construction of a new clubhouse and community facility at Chirconnell Park. The development will include an accessible gym, a change of places facility, community meeting rooms, an accessible kitchen, event spaces and lift access throughout the building. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says having accessible facilities will benefit the wider area. A meeting of Lifford Stranorler Municipal District has been told that Rafo is not getting the funding and recognition it deserves as Donegal's premier heritage town, and a business plan should be drawn up to ensure that its potential is realised. Councillor Frank McBrearty says Rafo is at the centre of the Lifford Stranorler Municipal District, and that needs to be recognised when funding priorities for the MD are being drawn up. Councillor McBrearty contrasted the underinvestment in the castle in Rafo with the priority given to the castle in Donegal Town. And President Catherine Connolly has signed the Omagh bombing inquiry bill, and it has accordingly become law. The legislation will allow for the taking of evidence in the state from a member or former member of an Garda Síochána, a member or former member of the Defence Forces, an office holder or former office holder of certain departments of state, or a former holder of a ministerial office for the purpose of assisting the Omagh bombing inquiry. The mechanism will be available to the chairman of the inquiry over its lifetime and will allow for the assistance to be sought as matters arise in the course of his work. That is all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, June the 3rd. The death has occurred of Pauline Brannigan, née McDade, Ahavenan, Rathmullen, formerly of Black's Glen, Remelton. Reposing at her son Martin and daughter-in-law Caroline's home at Ahavenan, Rathmullen, from 5 p.m. until rosary at 9 p.m. tomorrow, and on Friday from 12 noon until rosary at 9 p.m. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Funeral leaving Ahavenan at 10 past 10 on Saturday morning, travelling via Black's Glen to St Mary's Church, Remelton, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Patients' Comfort Fund, RSE Donal Milford, care of any family member, or McElwee Funeral Directors, Milford. The death has occurred of Margaret Mulrine, née Carlin, Glen Finn Street. reposing at her home today until 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Funeral leaving from there on Friday at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, interment in Stranorlar Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. House private to family on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Geoffrey McBride, 13 Beechwood Avenue, Raphoe. Geoffrey's remains will repose at his home. The house is private, please, to family and close friends only. Funeral service at his home tomorrow at 2 p.m, followed by burial in the family plot in Convoy Presbyterian Church Graveyard. Everyone is welcome to attend the funeral service and the committal. Family flowers only, donations in lieu, if desired, to Pieta House, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.